Thanks for listening to the Restoration Podcast. Here in 2021, we are unable at this point to gather as a whole family for worship due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but our home churches still gather and grow together online. And so if you need resources for that, go to restorationlex.com/this week. There's a weekly home church guide with kids resources, worship, prayer, message, links for giving, everything you need to be the church right where you are. Again, restorationlex.com/this week. Thanks for listening, and here we go. Well, he is risen. Restoration, you say? He is risen indeed. One more time, join in with me. He is risen, you say? He is risen indeed. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Day. It is a special day. I'm wearing a tie. I only wear a tie if one of you dies or gets married or Jesus gets up out of a grave. It is a great day. It's a great day because after 55 weeks of not being able to gather together as a family for worship at the Lyric Theater next week, we are in a limited capacity. We're taking that first step. And I just want to say, before we begin today, how grateful and thankful I am for you that you have continued to persevere and fight through the frustration, the fatigue, the fear, continuing to connect in home churches and invest in relationships, still believing that in spite of a worldwide pandemic, that Jesus is still restoring people who restore the world. I'm honored and humbled hearing stories all year long how you have joined God's work right where you are in your job, in your school, in your neighborhood, in your city. Even though we couldn't gather on Sundays, Restoration has continued to grow and thrive because of people like you, and I am so grateful. And it's fitting that here on this last day, God willing, of home church like this, we talk about resurrection. We talk about new beginnings. And I love this passage we just heard from Luke chapter 24. And I love it because it doesn't really tie this moment up into a neat little theological bow. I mean, there's confusion and doubt and grief and just outright denial. The women at the tomb and the disciples, they really have no category for this moment at all. Even after being with Jesus for 3 years, and even hearing him teaching that he's going to die and rise on the third day, this moment just escapes them. And strangely, I'm comforted by that, because I think if we're not dumbfounded by the resurrection, then we're probably not paying attention. I mean, the question they're asking that first Easter morning is the question I want to ask on this, our Easter morning, and that is, what do we do with the empty tomb? And I don't ask that hypothetically. I mean, this is the fundamental question of the Christian faith. Because it's one thing if Jesus is just a good ethical teacher, if he's just a moral example, if he's just a sacrifice in our formulaic equation for salvation, but even more, we believe that in reality, in history, God in flesh was raised from the dead in a resurrected physical body. This isn't just part of Christianity. This is Christianity. So much so that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul makes this astounding statement. He says, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." I mean, if Jesus is still in the tomb, this is just a religion. I mean, it's just a nice hobby. It's a country club. But if Jesus is risen from the dead, who we are together is so much more. So we need to ask, what do we do with the empty tomb? What does the resurrection mean for us here in Lexington, Kentucky in 2021? What does it matter to you, and what does it matter to me? I want us to be able to answer that question. And I don't just want to know the answer. I want what we know about this to change the way we see the world forever. And so I want to pray for that before we even begin today. Let's pray together. Risen Jesus, you are with us. You are present here, not as an idea, not as a metaphor, but a living God. And we celebrate that today. And so wherever we are listening or watching, would you meet us with your presence? Would you change the fabric of our faith and reality by the fact that you are risen today? Meet us today. Change us. Call us into faith in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, what do we do with the resurrection? What does it mean for us? Well, first, this truth we begin with, that because of the resurrection, sin and death are defeated. You see, if Jesus is still in the tomb, then death ultimately has the final word. The cross is just an inspiring example of sacrifice. But when we look at the cross in light of the resurrection, where Jesus bore the weight of our sin and death for all of creation, then the empty tomb means that Jesus has overcome death. Jesus has defeated sin once and for all. Listen to Paul's words from Romans 6. He says, "For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." The resurrection means for us that we're no longer in bondage to sin. And even more, because death could not hold Jesus, death cannot hold us. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 say that Jesus also shared in these so that through his death he might destroy the one holding the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who were held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. I mean, why did the disciples go from men who were running in terror during the crucifixion to men who were boldly proclaiming the gospel in the face of death in a matter of days? It's because if Jesus is risen from the dead, we have nothing to fear, even death itself. Which leads us to our second hope today, and that's because of the resurrection, new creation has arrived. You see, when Jesus was risen from the dead, it's the first sign of a new world that is being born into the old one. Colossians 1 tells us the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. What does that mean? It means that if Jesus has been resurrected, this is just the beginning of God's reconciling work in the whole world, in all of creation. I mean, look with me at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here." You see, restoration, this is so much bigger than going to heaven when we die. I mean, when we put our faith in Jesus, we are swept up into a story that is so much bigger than us. We are new creations in Christ because God is bringing the new creation and reconciling the whole world back to himself. In other words, God's work is way bigger than us. And that's good news. I mean, listen how the New Testament describes this. Colossians 1:19 says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him," speaking of Jesus, "and through him to reconcile to himself all things." Friends, this is so big. God is not just saving souls for heaven. He is redeeming and restoring all of creation. And the resurrection of Jesus is the turning point of the story that moves us forward to the full and final reconciliation one day. N.T. Wright, he writes this, "We could cope, the world could cope with a Jesus who ultimately remains a wonderful idea inside his disciples' minds and hearts. The world cannot cope with a Jesus who comes out of the tomb, who inaugurates God's new creation right in the middle of the old one." Now, has new creation fully arrived? No. You and I, we live in the tension between the already and the not yet. We live between the resurrection of Jesus and the day that he will come and restore all of creation once and for all. New creation is here in Jesus, in the resurrected Son of God, but yet it's not fully here yet. That ache you feel as you see death in the midst of our world right now, that ache is the tension of the already and the not yet. All creation feels that ache. Romans 8 writes that we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. I love this picture that Paul gives us, this idea of childbirth. I mean, when you're in the delivery room, there is incredible pain, and yet there is immense joy and anticipation of what's about to come. I mean, that's where we are right now. A new world is being born right in the middle of the old one. And we see clearly the pain is real, but so is the hope that is to come, the hope of what is about to fully arrive in Jesus. But here's the thing, the resurrection, it doesn't wait for that day to arrive when Jesus makes everything new. The resurrection brings us to one final hope today, and that's because of the resurrection, we are empowered for change in the here and now. I think it's fair to say that the world that we have come to know this past year has been really heavy. Some of you have lost family members to this virus. You've lost jobs. You've lost incomes. You've lost friendships. You've dealt with anxiety and depression and loneliness and anger. And then there's elections and injustice against people of color on and on and on and on. And I say all this because it's clear that right now the world doesn't need just a church who believes in the resurrection. The world needs a church who lives out the resurrection. And here is our hope today, that for those of us who are in Christ, the resurrection isn't simply a past event that we believe in, but it is a present reality. Romans 8:11 reminds us, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. This is our hope, that resurrection power lives in us. And if resurrection power lives in us, then friends, there is work to do. I don't know if you know our story as a church, but this is the idea that gave birth to our faith family 4 years ago, that we saw that as Jesus restored us, that we were empowered to be restorers in the world around us. I mean, if the Easter story is true, there should be something different about us, and there should be a fire in us to see new creation come on earth as it is in heaven. I love how N.T. Wright puts it. He says, people who believe in the resurrection, in God making a whole new world in which everything will be set right at last, are unstoppably motivated to work for that new world in the present. So restoration, after 55 weeks apart, there is a new season upon us. And here is my prayer, that we would live as a resurrection people. The resurrection people, we are empowered to be in our schools, in our neighborhoods, in our jobs, in our city. They need a family of believers who have the audacity to live from the empty tomb. I'll close with this statement from theologian Will Willem, and he says, the most eloquent testimony to the reality of the resurrection is not an empty tomb or a well-orchestrated pageant on Easter Sunday, but rather a group of people whose life together is so radically different, so completely changed from the way the world builds a community, that there can be no explanation other than that something decisive has happened in history. Restoration, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. So there's work to do. So pray with me. Father, empower us today. We look out at this world and the brokenness around us, the brokenness in us, God, and it's too big for us. We need resurrection power. We need the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that dwells in us to empower us for something more. Jesus, restore us today by your death and your resurrection. And as you restore us, make us a people together that would have eyes to see your restoring work in the world, that we have the audacity in light of the empty tomb to join you in this work. Lord, we love you. We thank you for sustaining us in this difficult season, a season full of death. But God, we know that in Christ, where there is death, resurrection is coming. So Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you have done. And thank you that as we move into this new season, you're going to do even greater things. We pray this in the mighty, resurrected name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. My friends, I hope you have a great Easter Sunday. Next week, as you know, we're gathering together as a whole family for worship in a limited capacity at the Lyric. We had a bunch of people sign up for seats already, but if you haven't done that yet and you want to gather with us, go to restorationlex.com/regathering. If you're not comfortable with that yet, that's fine. We're going to be live streaming at the same time here on Facebook next week. We hope you join us as a whole family for this exciting new season that is to come. I love you guys. Jesus is risen. Let's get to work. We'll see you next Sunday.